Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome back to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. Daryl Ryder, Andy Baskin, Meredith Kane is our outstanding producer. As we look at the Browns' schedule, and when we last left you before the bye, it was the Browns 6-2 going into the bye. And you're feeling confident about that, Daryl, right?
I am very, very confident. And as we go through this, I am assuming that Deshaun Watson is playing from week one, that there is no discipline, because that, I think that's the fairest way to do it. He has not been disciplined by the league. He is available. So I am proceeding as if he is going to start all 17 games for the Browns. But yeah, 6-2 I think is very, very doable. Odds are they'll probably go into the bye 5-3 because it's the NFL. They'll probably lose a game that everyone expects them to win or win a game that no one expects them to win. So that's just how the NFL and the law averages work out. But yeah, I think going into the bye week 6-2 very, very doable.
All right, let's look at the second half of the season because it significantly, on paper today, looks much tougher than the beginning of the season. And you go right to the good part about it is it's November 13th. It's probably going to be warm still in Miami. And you go to Miami to start things off after the bye.
Yeah, I think that they come out of the bye refreshed and they win that game. So they will, I got them starting, believe it or not, 7-2. And they've only won seven games in a season four times since 1999. So this will be the fifth year that the Browns are going to win at least seven games in a season. And by those standards, it's going to be a good year for Browns football. So I got them coming out of the bye with a victory in Miami.
So, again, when the Browns travel, it seems to be they're traveling in packs, and that's very evident in the second half of the season where they're road, home, road. And so that's the way the season plays out, and I think one of the toughest games of the season, two of the toughest games of the season are going to be back-to-back, especially depending on Tom Brady, because you're looking at two of the best quarterbacks in the game. When you go to Buffalo on November 20th, where the temperature should be anywhere between 48 and 34 degrees going up against a team that was 11-6, and Browns fans always keep their eye on.
Yeah, well, this is where the adversity kicks in, and we'll really find out what this football team is made of. I believe I read they travel the fourth fewest miles of any team this year. They leave the Eastern time zone just once, and that's when they go to Houston. Otherwise, they play every game this year in the Eastern time zone. It's incredible. They no West Coast trip for them. No 6-hour plane rides or whatever it is to get to the left coast. But this is where I think the adversity starts to kick in a little bit. It's in Buffalo, home field advantage to the Bills. Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson again, compelling television. But I do think Buffalo wins the game.
All right, and so the next week you get Tampa, but Tampa's at home. That's the one thing about it, and you wonder where Tom Brady is. Like if Tampa comes off to a slow start, and he has all this money sitting in a television booth waiting for him, I wonder how Tom Brady's going to be when you hit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday, November 27th, and so that'll be week 12. And that stretch right there is going to be extremely tough.
Yeah, it really is, because with Tom Brady back, the Buccaneers are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. But of the two games, I think it's plausible the Browns could split those games. And quite frankly, I think that's what they need to do. But just to kind of balance this thing out and not just be, complete homer show podcast here playing the schedule game, I'll say this is where the Browns lose back-to-back games for the first time in the season. So I'm going to give them a loss there just because of the Tom Brady Hall of Fame factor. And again, just trying to balance this thing out. But back-to-back losses here in November there on the 20th and the 27th to the Bills and the Bucks, the Killer Bees.
All right, as interesting as it might be week one to see Baker Mayfield on the sidelines against Carolina, it could be really interesting to see Deshaun Watson going up against Houston on December 4th as the Browns travel to the Texans.
Yeah, and I like Deshaun going to Houston and winning that game. He'll certainly be plenty motivated. Remember, he did not play during the 2021 season. That was a mutual agreement between the two parties following his trade request, which came just months after he had signed a contract extension with them, which the Browns then, of course, tore up and gave him $230 million guaranteed cash. But, yeah, I there's going to be some distraction that week for Deshaun, but I'm confident that he's mature enough to be able to deal with it. He's certainly going to be motivated, wanting to go to Houston and put on the show. So I say the Browns win that game.
Three of the last five games for the Browns are against the AFC North, which I think makes things great. And then the next 2 weeks after you're traveling to Houston, then you make the short trip down to Cincinnati and you take on the Bengals, who are coming back as the AFC champions. And then, you know, this is their game at Cincinnati, and it'll be interesting. Again, this is a game where I think it depends on who our quarterback is.
Yeah, and again, assuming four will be on the field, I think that they lose this one. The goal, as I mentioned earlier, split within the division at worst. I do think they split with the Bengals this year, even though the Browns have had a tremendous amount of success against Joe Burrow and Cincinnati. But I think that Cincinnati bounces back and starts this stretch run for the Browns on a sour note.
All right, so now we're down to the final four games of the season, the last quarter. The Ravens on Saturday, December 17th. That game could be on a Saturday or a Sunday. It's one of those flex games. Remember, we were in that last year.
Yep.
But that game is at home. And what am I looking at here for December 17th? You're probably looking at temperatures between 30 and 37 degrees on the lakefront. Who knows what the wind's like at that game, too?
Yeah, and you know, I think that the home field advantage will kind of kick in. I had them losing earlier this year in Baltimore, so I'm going to split it and say that the Browns win at First Energy Stadium and knock off the Ravens and really position themselves for an intriguing holiday stretch.
All right, speaking of the holidays, now we get to Christmas Eve, and you've got the Saints. What three games on Christmas Eve? Right? Is there or three games on Christmas? There's a triple.
It's the triple header on Christmas.
On Christmas, okay. So
as the NFL tries to overshadow the NBA, because as we know, the Christmas holiday has traditionally been the NBA's holiday, but Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, so too bad NBA.
Well, the good part about that Christmas Eve game is that it is in Cleveland again. So again,
and the Saints are coming to town. What better team to have in town on Christmas than my New Orleans Saints?
So you've got them on Christmas Eve. That's the final regular season home game for the Browns as well. Right. You got a dome team coming to Cleveland on Christmas Eve. Temperatures in the 30s and the 20s. If your quarterback is healthy and is playing well and the rest of the team is healthy, that could be a nice game for the Browns.
I'm very conflicted about this, but Drew Brees, let's be honest about it, is retired. He is no longer the quarterback of the Saints. Sean Payton is no longer the coach. So, yeah, I got the Browns. No bah humbug this year. No coal in the stocking. The Browns get a win, and everybody going to be drinking eggnog in celebration.
All right, we're going into the final two games of the season. They're both on the road against Washington and Pittsburgh. What's the record you have for the Browns at this point?
Don't make me do math. Let's see here. I think I got them at 10-5. They're 10-5. So
Are they in the playoffs at 10-5?
I'll tell you if they're in the playoffs when we're done.
All right, sounds good enough. Let's go to the next games. At Washington, the first time we'll ever see the Commanders. So as awkward as it's felt to see the Guardians, it is equally as awkward to say the Commanders.
Happy New Year, Browns fans. Win number 11. Here it comes against Carson Wentz, maybe, and the Commanders. They start the new year 2023 off on the right foot. They win their 11th of the season, and that gets them into the playoffs.
So January 1st, with 2 weeks to go in the season, it looks like the Browns can make the playoffs, according to Daryl Ryder's wisdom. And so now you go into the last week of the season, and you'll be jockeying for playoff position. Or, if I'm listening to you right, you may actually have a chance to rest some guys that last week of the season at Pittsburgh, if things go well, and Deshaun Watson is your starting quarterback.
Yeah, but it's Heinz Field, and the Browns, unless it's a playoff game, always lose at Heinz Field. So they're going to lose the season finale against the Steelers, but they finish 11-6, and that will be good enough to get them into the postseason. I don't know if 11-6 is going to win them the division, Andy, but I feel pretty confident that if the Browns are relatively healthy this year, I really like this schedule for them, and I think it's going to be a very fun season. I've got them finishing 11-6, and I just hope I don't live to regret this as much as I regret picking them to go to the Super Bowl last year.
Well, don't feel bad, because I have them around the same thing. I can't get a handle on if it's like 9, 10, or 11.
Yeah.
If Deshaun Watson is quarterback, I feel like it's 11. And we're on the same page, but you just don't know. We don't know what's going on with the suspension. So when I see Deshaun under center, I'll say the schedule game plays out to 11 wins. If I don't, and Jacoby Brissett's there, I feel like they're going to be a 500 team. They'll have opportunities to make the playoffs, but they'll have to go above and beyond at the end of the season. And it could feel very much like the Steelers making the playoffs last year. The Browns could be in that same kind of similar situation if Jacoby Brissett is their starting quarterback for this season. At least that's the way I see it. All right, so, Daryl, we have played the schedule game, and I know we've asked people to hang around. It was a big story to me, at least. I looked, and I was following you on Instagram, and you had said – or was it Twitter? You had said Deshaun Watson had blocked you, and I was like, why would Deshaun Watson block Daryl Ryder?
Yeah, I don't know. I certainly didn't tweet, write, or post anything offensive about him or direct any vulgarity or profanity at him. I was shocked too, a little surprised. Not upset, I just was surprised, because it is important for me as someone who covers the team on a daily basis to be able to see players' social media. Because in this day and age, players make news on social media. That's just, you know, where we're at. So it's important for me to be able to see what they post and whatnot. So was kind of surprised. So I made the fatal mistake of trying to have a little fun with it. We all remember the Chris Mortensen ESPN report about, someone in the organization telling him that they wanted an adult in the room at quarterback to replace Baker Mayfield, a little veiled shot at six. So I thought that I was going to have a little innocent fun, screenshot the fact that Deshaun blocked me, and then, post, hey, this is the new adult in the room, hashtag Browns. Mm. And I ended up getting ratioed in a very profane, vulgar way by Browns fans. And so I ended up having to spend the next 48 hours blocking a lot of fans, almost 1,000 fans I had to block because of the direct messages and the comments that were being thrown my way. And then that led to, fans coming at me for not being an adult and taking all of the vulgarity and profanity that was being directed in my direction. And so my response to that is I get it, right? Being called a hypocrite because I'm making wisecracks about Deshaun blocking me, and then here I am blocking fans. Well, let me explain to you the difference. The difference is the messages that I was receiving, I had to close the DMs to fans because I can't even read them, even though we're on a podcast and we don't have to worry about the FCC or anything like that. We want to keep this a very family friendly podcast. And so my thing is my rules for blocking are that if you hate following me so much, I'm doing you a favor if I block you, number one, or if you think I suck at my job so bad, again, I'm doing you a favor by blocking you. You don't have to see what I post anymore, so I don't know why you're mad that I block you. And then, and then the trigger for me to block is if you spew vulgarity at me. I don't believe that that's how you converse with people. I think that regardless of how you feel about somebody, that you treat them with respect. My job, my position, I am required to treat listeners and followers with respect. And that means that I do not post anything profane or vulgar or offensive or, you know, whatnot in response or just in general. So I expect that to be a two-lane highway there. Don't send it to me. If you want to say, hey, I stink at my job or I need to be better at this or whatever, I'm all about the free speech. But when you start going the seven dirty words on me and then some, you know, calling me a bunch of names and things like that, I'm not going to put up with it. I'm going to block you, and that's the end of it. And again, if you want to sit there and say I stink of my job, don't complain about being blocked, because I'm doing you the public service. I don't want to trigger you. I don't want to put you in a bad mood by following me and you see my tweets pop up or whatever. Like, so don't be mad at me if I blocked you. You should be overjoyed. Thank God I don't have to see Daryl Ryder's tweets anymore because he's a jerk, or insert whatever vulgar name you want to call me there. But yeah, that's the difference. I didn't tweet anything profane or vulgar at Deshaun. Right. I didn't, take veiled shots at Deshaun or anything like that. Unfortunately, we have a very sensitive, difficult situation that we have to talk about and I have to write about and cover in regards to these allegations. I have stressed that these are allegations. It's not my job to adjudicate the cases that are levied against him. I hate the fact that we have to do so much hot take in our business at times, especially with this. I can't tell you how many times I've done radio shows and you're like, so do you think he gets suspended? Do you think he did it? Are you, you don't believe the women? And it's like, no, it's, I don't know. I wasn't in the room. I just know what I've been told. I know what I've read. I've read the filings and things like that. It's not my job to say whether he's guilty or innocent. That's for the court of law to determine, or in this case, liability, because that's what what's going on here. This is about liability. Two grand juries have said there's not enough to prosecute him criminally. So, I certainly don't enjoy it. The fact that we had some fun doing a schedule game. We don't know if Deshaun gets to play all 17. I'm not rooting for him to be suspended at all. I hope he plays all 17. I think he's an electrifying player from a pure football standpoint. It was absolutely the right move to make. From a personal standpoint, yeah. I mean, the Browns have to wear the bad press that comes with him right now because of what he is accused of. And I think we have a responsibility to take the allegations seriously. And that doesn't mean that we say he did it, that we're convicting him of something. But I do think it's important that, as prevalent as sexual assault is, I mean, Andy, I've had seven women who I've known for years tell me that they, after this trade went down, tell me that they were victims of sexual assault or rape. And pardon my ignorance. I know it's out there. I know it happens. It's terrible that it happens. I had no idea just how prevalent sexual assault is in our society. I admit, and I feel terrible that I was so ignorant to that. So yeah, I think that you do have to take the allegations that have been levied against him seriously. And I think you can take him seriously without convicting him in the court of public opinion and allowing these processes to play out. But yeah, tough week on social media. I'm not going to lie. Cause I don't like reading that.
You're
stuff.
Human. You're human.
Yeah.
You know, I feel the same way, Daryl. Like when I start looking at some of the stuff, and it used to really affect me when we were doing the shows on the air, I'm like, and then you got to remember that. And again, this has nothing to do with Deshaun Watson, that when you're looking at some of the social media stuff, you're like, okay, this is one person. I wonder how many people that person reflects. I think that goes through my mind a lot.
Oh, I found out that it reflects a lot of people, because I got a lot of them. Like I said, yeah. I unfortunately ended up blocking like 1,000 people over a 48 to 72 hour stretch. That's how bad it was. That, I mean,
this
it,
is,
it, Yeah, it was pretty ugly. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, but Daryl, this is why, like, mute is the greatest button on earth. And, you know, when I was looking for inspiration when I start getting mean tweets and stuff like that, I just go back to Jay Billis. I go to Jay Billis's account, and I look and I see Jay Billis follows no one and has thousands of followers. So that was interesting. Okay, Daryl, so we've got rookie minicamp coming up. We'll talk about that on the next edition of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. Want to thank Meredith Kane, our producer, and, of course, Daryl Ryder, our outstanding Browns beat reporter at 92.3 The Fan. I'm Andy Baskin. If you like what you're hearing, remember to subscribe to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland feed. Feel free to hop in, too, on Twitter with us at GameDayCLE. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland.